Morning, Ramchal. Hal amaze dom l'gana mevucha. So he says, as we finished off yesterday with the mushal, the Ramchal is like a giant corn maze. Agana natul itzchok ayedua itzal asarim. Or, you know, wasn't on the farms in Nebraska, but he paints a picture. If anyone's ever gone to Europe, you've seen like the Palace of Versailles. Anyone ever go to Versailles? When my wife and I visited Vienna, so we toured several palaces of the Habsburg Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and they have these fabulous gardens in the back of these castles, and he says this was tzok. This is, you know, what the rulers did with their free time. They would have their landscapers build these giant mazes out of hedges. Shanatios asuyos kesalim kesalim. It's amazing. He's describing something, you know, like that. That we're familiar with, or maybe someone who lived where the royalty lived, to a person in the shtetl in Poland, you know, who's reading the Silsi Sharm, who's never been outside of the Dalat Amos of his little village with the wagon and, you know, and the horses and whatever they do to support themselves. So he's trying to paint a picture of what this looks like. The plants are formed in the shape of walls, ubeinam shavilam rabim nevuchim umoravim, and in between these walls there are many twisting, winding, confusing paths, kulam dom zelzel, they all look alike. And the goal is to get to some place in the middle, some goal that's an achsadra, it's like maybe a gazebo or something in the middle. There are paths that will get you there. But there's other paths that are designed to confuse you and push you in the opposite direction. Someone's walking through the paths. He has no idea. These hedges are 8 feet tall. He has no idea if he's on the right path or if he's in one that's misleading him. They all look alike, and there's no difference to the naked eye. Unless you've done this before. If you've done the maze before, so you know what to look for. You know where... you know where you're going. You recognize the path, and you know how to reach the goal. Shu Achsadra. Anyone who gets to the center, where the Achsadra is, where the Gzibu is, there's a place where you can climb up and see a bird's eye view of the maze, all the different paths, the ones that are the right way, and the ways that are dead ends. And from that position, you can call out to someone who's going through the maze and tell them, you're going in the right direction, you're going in the wrong direction. And he can say, Zedarach l'chubo, go this way. So if you hear someone as you're going through the maze, someone's calling out to you, they go this way, and you listen to them, then you'll get where you're supposed to go. But if someone is going to simply trust their eyes, someone is going to simply trust their own confused perspective from inside the maze, vade shishar over to yelov. You're just going to get lost. You're not going to get where you want to go. Kena davar hazeh mishadayin l'moshul b'yitzro hu b'soch ha-shvilim. This is life. This is life. Life is a maze. Someone who's in the maze is, as we're describing it right now, we're calling him mishadayin l'moshul b'yitzro. Someone who still does not have control over his yitzer. That's a very tall order. That's a very high level. That's a big expectation for a person to even have that aspiration to be moshul b'yitzrom. But that's what separates the men from the boys. That's what separates the successful and the unsuccessful. Who is in control? Who can say no? Who can exercise restraint and be the master of their own destiny? So if you're still in the maze, so there's something else that holds power over you and you can't overcome. You're in the maze. You can't tell the difference. It's darkness. Those who already wield this memshala, shekvar gila achsadra, they got to the goal already. Shekvar yotzim and ashvilim v'roim kol drachim le'neim v'bir. They were able to exit all the paths, and they can see all the different paths clearly in front of their eyes. Him yicholim li'ayitz l'mishir shalishma. They can give advice to those who are willing to hear. You have to be able to listen. It's so tough. You know, I'm saying this as a parent. My oldest child is in high school. So, you know, we're at a certain stage in the development of a wonderful Bas Yisrael, the Siyata D'Shemayah, Kosh Baruch Hu should bless her, to always follow the Derech Hashem. But as a, thank you, as a parent, everyone knows, I should say as a child, and we're all children of our parents, so for the majority of our lives, that at least that we're, you know, we have a good memory, or is most nogea to us right now, so we feel like our parents are directing us to a certain path that is wrong. They don't understand, they don't get it, they don't get me, they don't appreciate the circumstances, the generation, the details of my own life, right? And they're offering something which maybe makes sense to them, but they don't understand. So eventually a person graduates from primarily being a child to also being a parent, and they find themselves in the exact same situation. I know someone whose mother always told him, don't worry, I'm not going to get upset. You'll get your payback when you're a parent. You'll know exactly why I'm so frustrated. And you know, and everyone's always like, oh my gosh, I sound like my father, I sound like my mother. And there's a lot of truth to that because, yeah, when you grow up 15, 20, 25 years hearing the same thing, right? So it does penetrate. Whether you like it or not, it penetrates. It's just the v'yadata yom v'ashevos alavavecha. I hear it and I know it, but I don't want to do it or I don't feel that it's right. But eventually, v'ashevos alavavecha, it gets in your heart enough that you start dishing it out to everybody else. Why? Why do you suddenly have that like turning point? Because, again, I'm not saying this about everything everyone's parents says, and I'm not saying that everything you hear from someone else is necessarily right just because they're older than you. That's definitely not always going to be the case. But when that turning point happens, when someone gets to the goal of a maze, meaning they get to that point where they can look back and say, I've seen this happen before. Maybe not, I've seen it in my kid's lifetime. I've seen it in my own lifetime. Maybe this is something, you know, people don't learn from history. They're doomed to repeat it. Klal Yisrael has seen. You know, why was there such a strong reaction from the, you know, from certain parts of our community against internet usage, and there should be, and I think at this point, every part of the Jewish community, doesn't matter where you're holding, you know, what side of the spectrum, recognizes what the dangers and the risks of the internet are if there's no control, right? You know, but there's certain people who were on the bandwagon earlier, right? It took certain people, certain segments of the community longer to realize that there's an issue we got to deal with, and yes, there's still people who don't get it. You know, I was talking to a Rebbe, a third grade Rebbe, not so long ago, and one of the schools that some of the guys here probably went to, and you know, for elementary school, and he said, like, I don't understand. He's 10 years old. No, he's not. He's 9 years old. And his parents give him an iPhone, no filter, nothing. Just like, here, take this $400 phone. Just like, do whatever you want with it, and like, you know, hopefully it'll turn out okay. You know, like, so is it every 9 year old, you know, like looking for problems or for trouble? No, but, you know, most of what people get sucked into is by accident. They're not expecting. They're not trying to get addicted or hooked. But you know, so it doesn't make sense to me that parents are so checked out in 2021 that there's like no limitations. But also because I hear that from kids, I hear that from high school kids, and I hear that from college guys who say, "I wish my parents, when I was 14, 15, introduced the concept of there being some limitations. I wish my parents had like chopped that, like no, like you know, as Chazal say, my yasa ben vel yechta. You, the Gemara gives a very interesting mashal. Gemara says if you take a little child and you sit him outside of the door of a base hazona with a pouch of golden coins around his neck, what do you expect? Where's the kid going to get on? Where's he going to end up? Okay, so it sounds like it's a graphic illustration, but okay, but there's, you know, we can identify in our own lives what that means. If you just like let it loose, everything's hefker. So what do you expect from the poor kid? And there's fallout, and now he's struggling with it down the road. So, but those who were on the bandwagon earlier and realized, you know, there's 10 years, 20 years ago, this internet thing, we need to keep it in control, while everyone else was making fun of them, it's because they had seen 30, 40, 50 years before that there was something called TV. And yes, in the 1950s and 1960s, there were all these black and white sitcoms that, you know, they're playing on Nickelodeon now, which were, you know, with the husband and the wife and the dog, and the guy came home from work and the dog brought him his shoes and his coffee and, you know, and hi honey, I'm home. You know, like, and everything was like peachy keen, everything was beautiful, and like there's nothing, and you know, like good old American entertainment. But like sometime in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whenever it was, like, you know, television became something which was not conducive to bolstering the growth of an aspiring yeshiva student. Okay? So whenever that transition took place, it happened under the radar. Because, like, once something's, when the foot is in the door, You know, so then it's very hard to switch. I thank Hashem. I think in 1998, I want to say 1998, 99, my parents' TV broke. And like the cable, something went wrong. And then we went to Eretz Yisrael the next year. Shortly thereafter, my father was on a sabbatical. I went to Shana Alv. And my parents just said, like, all right, TV was broken. Like, then we left and, like, just didn't bother hooking up. And, you know, my family is a wonderful modern Orthodox family, but everyone else on their block has a TV. And it just worked out that you know, we were in the right place at the right time. And, like, TV disappeared from our house. I was once at, no Chicago guys, right? Zev Cohn. Zev Cohn is from Mishorin, yeah.
I'm related to him.
You're related to him? Oh, okay. So he's by extension, he's a Rebbe of mine. I talk to him every once in a while. My wife spent a lot of time at his home because his daughter and my wife went to school together. And so I got to know him, you know, over the years since we got married. He's a very, very impressive person, and he did a tremendous thing with the shul. You know, he really brought the shul has a motto, has a mission statement. Like, you know, they make, like, you know, those rubber bracelets, and the slogan of the shul is taking you to the next level. And just, like, always struck me, like, wow, like, you know, that a modern Orthodox community can brand itself with an aspiration to be growing. That's something very special, and it takes a very special road to be able to develop that. So the first time I really, like, heard him give a shiur, it was we went for Shabbos, and it got in Thursday night. My wife said, oh, he gives this Mustervad Thursday night to some of the people in the shul. So I said, okay, I'll go. I daven Marv, stayed a few minutes afterwards. He's got about 15 guys around the table, and they have a Kabbalah, things that they're working on. This is like the old school Musar Avad that they had in Kelm and Slobodka in Europe. You know, they would work on something as a group, and every week they'd get together for a few minutes and report. I was successful, I was not successful, these are the things I'm working on. They're going around the table, and they get to one guy. Again, regular modern Orthodox person. And he's like, Rabbi, this week, my wife and I, we got rid of our TV. And everyone's like, like, you know, like, whoa, you know, just... It was like, wow, like, you can do that. Like, you really can do that. And, like, you know, it took years of, like, strengthening themselves. Okay, but bottom line is, once things are in the door, it's very rare to find someone who can take it out the door. But the Gedolim, who saw it coming, said, you know, we need to have some sort of understanding of what we're dealing with, because once the foot is in the door, it's going to be impossible to keep it in control. And yes, there's a lot of Torah that can be spread to the internet. There's chesed and there's mitzvahs, but... Okay, everything has its pros and cons. We need to find a healthy balance. So, what are we doing this for? Why am I going on this tangent? So what the Silsa Sharm is trying to say is, you're always going to push back on people who are giving you advice, seemingly because you feel like they're not in touch, they don't know what they're doing. But you can't ignore the fact that someone who has a certain degree of experience and a certain set of life encounters will have a perspective that you don't have. And you need to give it some weight. You need to give it some credit. Because someone who's standing at the end of the maze and looking back at all the different confusing paths realizes that they can help you and prevent other people from making the same mistakes that they made. But, you know, sometimes we need to fail, we need to fall before we can pick ourselves up again and realize, wait a minute, those people were right. But we need to be listening. We need to have our eyes and our ears open. And the only thing I can say, Rabbi Say, to help sustain that is throughout your life, you must be learning Musar. You must be learning Musar, even if just a few minutes a day, the more the merrier. But you need to be plugged into the notion of growth and introspection and self-improvement. That is your only hope. And this is great. He says, if I have to distill the one message, even if you ignore everything else your parents say, and everything else that your Rebbe says, and everything else that anyone is older than you says, but one message you need to take, bo cheshbon, that you cannot end your day without a cheshbon hanefesh, without spending some time to look back and just review. And I think every single one of us, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, you're always listening to a Rebbe's Musar Shmooze, or you're rejecting things that you hear from other people. Anyone who takes an accounting, wherever you're holding, and each one of us is in a different place, that's fine. Wherever a person is holding in their own moral, ethical growth level, when you do a review, you know you will find things that you want to improve on. Regardless, I don't care what anyone else says. You yourself want to be better, right? Everyone feels the power of Yom Kippur at some point. At some point in Yom Kippur, you feel like, okay, there's something I need to change. I don't always know how to change it, and maybe it's not sustained, but I feel like there's something I got to improve. You're not going to give adequate time to thinking and executing if you're not doing a Cheshbon HaNefesh. So at some point during the day, you need to be reviewing, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? Where can I improve? Even in the good things, where can I improve? My suggestion we spoke about, I think, before Yantif, why we eat 3 times a day. That's also a Cheshbon HaNefesh opportunity. Few junctures over the course of the day to let that be considered. Final paragraph of Perek Beis. Klol shel davar tzarcha adam lios mizbonin b'sich lo tamin b'chol zman. Bottom line, person has to be thinking, he's to be using his mind at all times. B'zman kavu lo b'zbodido, ma'aderach amiti u'fichok ha-torah sh'adam tzarcha leilich bo, to use his personal quiet time when he's alone with his thoughts to consider what is the way that the Torah asks of me. And then, once you have some notion of that, then to further think, okay, am I plugged into that rubric or am I out of that? This is the way to make it easier, to purify, to improve, to straighten yourself out in the way you want to improve. Search, seek out. What is the derech that you're on? What's the derech you should be on? Benach kora, analyze. That's going to bring you back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shalom v'zochor b'oseh.